The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 15, the gospel lesson that we just read. The title of the sermon is, Are You Offended by Jesus? Are you offended by Jesus? Are you embarrassed to let people know that you associate with him on a regular basis on Sunday morning? Do you cringe when strangers discover you talking to Jesus in prayer or listening to him in his written word? Is your relationship with Jesus one of those things that you'd rather keep quiet about in polite or important company? I think most of you would say that you're not embarrassed about your relationship with Jesus. I think most of you would say that even if you don't talk about him much with strangers, you would not deny that you believe in him if you were asked. You'd say, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I'm a believer. So I think most of you would say, no, I am not offended by Jesus. And that's a good thing. If you lived in the days of Jesus, though, I wonder if you would have been offended by Jesus. Many people were. Most of the people of the day were expecting a Messiah with a little more power, a little more wealth, a little more influence, or something. He just seemed, well, too common. That is why Jesus said in our gospel lesson, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Let's do an imaginary exercise here and put Jesus into the 21st century in 2020 and see what you think, whether you're offended by Jesus. Let's just imagine that his father Joseph is a construction worker building the new apartment complexes up and down the peninsula. His son Jesus does the same work on his own when there's work. Other times he works with his dad in construction when there's work. Right now, as you know, there's not a whole lot of work due to COVID. So like many other people, Jesus is unemployed. On Sundays, well, Sundays when we have in-person worship, Jesus joins us at Grace San Mateo for worship in the sanctuary. He sits over there and wears a face mask, keeps his 6-foot social distance, uses hand sanitizer, and he obeys all the COVID rules. Doesn't really stand out in the crowd. Before COVID happened, he also joined us for discussion in Bible class after the service, and he amazed us all with his knowledge of Scripture. He could recite it chapter and verse by memory, any verse you asked him. Beside his knowledge of the Bible and theology, though, you wouldn't be able to tell by looking at him that he's anything special. He's dressed neatly, but not in anything fancy or expensive. He is polite. He smiles. Otherwise, he's just a normal guy. If you follow Jesus around during the week, you might be surprised at everything that he does. Before COVID, that locked everything down, he visited the inmates at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Palo Alto, just to give them a little cheer. On one occasion that I heard about, there was a big ruckus. As an inmate who had just seen Jesus started screaming and carrying on. When the guards came, the inmate looked at them straight in the eye and said, "I'm ready to leave now." And this was the psych ward. And when they tested him, they were amazed to find that he was perfectly sane and healthy, and they discharged him. Before COVID locked everything down, Jesus visited the residents at nursing homes and senior living establishments just to talk to them. Sometimes after his visits with residents who were in wheelchairs, they got up and started walking. They packed their bags and went home. Sometimes after he visited the blind people in the nursing home, they were found the next day admiring the paintings on the wall. Sometimes after he visited folks who lost their hearing, the next day they started talking with their neighbors in a regular way. Before COVID locked everything down, Jesus visited patients in hospitals. Now, he didn't visit everybody. Nobody knows how or why he chose the people that he visited, but everybody he visited were touched in some way by his words and presence. Some were released the next day, totally healed. Others had the courage to accept the diagnosis of the doctor. All have wonderful stories of the time that they've spent visiting with Jesus. Now, for all these things, Jesus would seem to be a wonderful addition to the community. We wish we had more people like that. But there's one thing about Jesus that might bother you. Even though he accepts any social invitation, he mostly associates with people below the federally established poverty level. He even lives in that part of town. I won't tell you where it is. You get the impression that he prefers to be with the poor, but that might be the gossip biasing you. Most people think he associates with the poor because that's the type of folk that he grew up with. Some of the leaders of San Mateo are worried that Jesus might be riling up the poor folks, and that's why he associates with them, for something like a labor strike or a protest, as if we really needed another protest these days. He keeps promising the poor folks a better day and a better life if they follow him. Isn't that what politicians do? But what does Jesus have to offer to them? He is not wealthy. He doesn't own a business. He isn't making friends with any of the important people in town. All that talk that he talks about, his kingdom and happiness and joy, and it's just going to raise expectations that can't be met. And then what? Who does he think he is anyway? That was how things were that year, about 30 AD, when John the Baptist was arrested and carried off to prison. Now, what you just heard about Jesus was what John heard through the grapevine of his disciples and friends and other people. You see, Jesus did not start his ministry until John was in prison. So John didn't really see what Jesus was doing or hear his preaching. He only really saw Jesus in a revelatory sort of way at Jesus' baptism. So what was John supposed to think? He had baptized his cousin, and he saw the Holy Spirit come down as a dove, and he heard the Father's voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so with that, John was expecting great things. But what John got instead was a bunch of rumors about miracles and gossip about how Jesus spent all of his time with the poor, how he's spending time with people with criminal records and with prostitutes. John thought that Jesus was going to make a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It talks about that in the Old Testament, in the prophets. John hoped that Jesus would demand that King Herod release his cousin named John the Baptist. Instead, while John was there rotting in prison, Jesus was apparently spending all his time with criminals and prostitutes. And that's what people were saying. Who did Jesus think he was anyway? So Jesus said in our gospel, for the benefit of John and for us, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The truth is, there are a lot of people that are offended by Jesus. Johann Wolfgang Goethe was thought in his day, early 19th century, to be the most intelligent and cultured man of his day. He was a polymath, a scientist, a poet, a dramatist, and many other things, and the Germans still look up to him today. But he was no lover of Jesus. In fact, in one of his writings, Goethe said he hated Christ and Christians. Jesus and his disciples are too lowly for high intellects and highly cultured people like Goethe. Friedrich Nietzsche was another German who hated Christ and Christians. Nietzsche thought Christianity was a religion for slaves, not for enlightened and cultured people like the Germans in the Biedermeier era, again, the 19th century. Many people today in the arts, in the sciences, in the universities, in the mass media, and the upper echelons of society are offended at the religion of Jesus. They scorn fundamentalists and traditional Catholics and conservative Protestants, and they think they're all unscientific, backwards, uncultured, or just plain stupid. They are, in other words, highly offended by people like you and me, who believe that the Bible, in its entirety, is true. But if you don't believe me, what I'm saying, just read the New York Times. At various times in its history, the teaching and religion of Jesus has been accepted by the proud, the rich, the cultured, and the intellectuals of this world. But I think that phase of history is past, although I could be wrong. Christianity has this knack for coming back stronger than before, when everybody who was important thought it was already dead and buried. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, who works when and where he wills, not when and where we want him to. The teaching and religion of Jesus is simple. Even a child can understand it. And maybe that's why the intellectuals don't like it. It is the hope of the resurrection of the dead, with believers joining Jesus, the angels, and the saints in heaven. It is the hope of something better in heaven than what we have here on earth. It is the good works of Christ offered to the divine judge, for those whose good works are stained with sin, and that includes all of us. It is the forgiveness of sins based on the suffering and death of Jesus, for those who need forgiveness, and that's all of us. It is a doctrine of humility for those who should really be humble, and that includes all of us. It is a religion for everyone, rich man, poor man, beggar man, and repentant thief. Are you offended by Jesus? Blessed are you if you are not offended by the humble appearance of God's one and only Son. In Jesus' name, amen.